The first reading is from John 15, verses 26 to 27. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And the second reading is from John 16, verses 4 to 15. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said to the Spirit, will take from what is mine and make it known to you.
The third reading is from Acts 2, 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Well, thank you for all those sharings. Wasn't Thy Kingdom Come great? Brilliant, isn't it? Well done to Emma, who did a lot of the organising, I think. So Thy Kingdom Come is the season from Ascension Day through to Pentecost, So it reaches its climax today. And for those first disciples, it was a time of waiting, wasn't it? Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. A time of anticipating, a time of praying, a time of waiting for God. We tend to think of prayer, if we're not careful, as a sort of shopping list of requests to bring before God, don't we? But it can be so much more than that. An old hymn says, "Prayer is the Christian's vital breath." And that phrase has been used in sermons and book titles ever since. And it should be as natural as breathing. It should be as life-giving as taking a breath. Both Hebrew and Greek, both languages, have just one single word for spirit, breath, and wind. All those three English words have just a single Hebrew word, ruach, and likewise a single Greek word, pneuma. And so we read in Genesis 2, for example, that God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. As if God, like a potter, had sort of formed a human being from the clay and then blew up his nostrils and breathed life into him. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? Helena, are we doing all right with the pictures? Are they not coming? No, it's a PowerPoint. There should be a PowerPoint. Yeah. Sermon, it's called. Should be in there. So go through about... I'm up to God breathing into the man. There we go, that's the one. Lovely, we're up to speed. So it's a wonderful picture, isn't it, of God breathing into the lifeless human. And that's why we read of the Spirit of God being like a breath on the waters, or like a wind. On the day of Pentecost, making a sound like a rushing mighty wind. So one way that we could receive the Spirit of God on this day of Pentecost is by inhaling, taking a deep breath, breathing in, being inspired by God. Lord, breathe your life into me today. Fill me with your breath. Another way is that they also saw flames, tongues of fire, separating and resting on each of the disciples. Sometimes when you pray for people, when people are prayed for, they say they feel warmth inside, as if God is giving them comforting and healing energy, power and heat and warmth. That's why, for example, I don't know, at the wedding you probably saw the Archbishop of Canterbury wearing his mitre, that funny bishop's hat. That's why it's in that shape like a candle flame, because it's remembering the day of Pentecost, the flames on the heads of the apostles and disciples. Then again, our hymn, "Come down, O love divine," had these words in it: "O comforter, draw near, within my heart appear, and kindle it thy holy flame bestowing, the Spirit like a flame of energy." And then, of course, we also had that hymn, "O God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire today." So as you pray, imagine God's warmth, imagine his energy, imagine his fire entering your body and warming you from head to toe. Lord, fill me with your warmth, your fire today. Come, Holy Spirit. And then again, another Bible metaphor for the Spirit is speaking in other languages, communicating the gospel. On the day of Pentecost, it was other human languages. All the nations gathered together in Jerusalem. And you remember the story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, when God broke up the party by making them all speak different languages. And the day of Pentecost is a reversal of that. Because in the kingdom of God, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And that's why uneducated fishermen from backwards Galilee were able to address thousands in the capital city and tell them about Jesus. By the power of the Spirit, they knew what to say. On the spur of the moment, we read from that second reading, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Now, he'd not been to school, he wasn't an orator, but God gave him the ability to speak. And what's more, on the spur of the moment, God told him which prophet to quote, which prophecy from the Old Testament. He brought it all to Simon Peter's mind. The Spirit inspired him. Yesterday, Bishop Michael Curry, got a picture of him, I think, at the wedding. How he spoke was so inspiring, wasn't it? God filled him with the Spirit and gave him that ability yesterday to inspire millions, billions of people. Now, I don't know about you, possibly you dislike coming forward to the front of church. Possibly you hate speaking in public. Maybe you don't like the spotlight being on you. Maybe you'd hate to be at the royal wedding in the pulpit there speaking. But you're not alone. Moses, would you believe? Moses complained to God that he was tongue-tied. He wasn't a good speaker. Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm so young, don't send me. Paul was unimpressive in person, apparently. We've got his letters, which are pretty impressive. But it says in one place that people look down on him in person. They say, oh, he's nothing much. Timothy, people despise Timothy. Paul said, don't let them do that. You're the leader. Stand up. God gave all of those people courage because God called them to a task and a ministry. And God filled them with his Spirit and gave them that ability to speak in public and to communicate his gospel. So even if you're a bit shy yourself, pray. Ask God to fill you with his Spirit, to give you the words and the boldness to speak them out for him. Lord, loosen my tongue, I pray. Help me to communicate your good news when you call me to do so. Well, what else do we learn about the Spirit? Well, he's the counselor, the advocate in court. Got another picture there, I think. There we go. The Spirit of Truth. He's the expert lawyer who stands alongside us in court and presents our case. He testifies to Jesus. You remember Jesus saying, unless I go, the counselor, the Spirit, won't come to you. He comes to replace Jesus, if you like. And Jesus was only one person in one place at one time. The Spirit is in each of us, dwelling with us in every person, in every place, at every time. And he testifies to Jesus. Do you remember Stephen in the Acts of the Apostles, the first martyr, Stephen, who was accused before the Jews? He was held up before the Jewish council and so on. But he spoke with extraordinary power, and people saw Jesus in his face as he spoke. When you're accused, when you're under attack, the Spirit comes to defend you. Jesus promised that for his disciples. The Spirit will speak on your behalf and defend you to your accusers. So don't fear if you're under pressure, if people are having a go at you. Don't fear, just pray as Stephen did, say, Lord, let me follow you. Let me act as you would. And then speak. But as Jesus told his disciples, it will be the Spirit speaking through you with a power that is not your own. Lord, when I stand before others, fill my soul with your Spirit. Let me be a witness for you. Enable me to shine out for you in the world. What else is the Spirit like? Well, he's like a guide. Verse 13 says that. He'll guide you into all truth and tell you what is to come. Now, he may not tell you the lottery numbers. He may not guide you which car to buy or something practical like that. But he will tell you what God wants, what's important to him. Jesus said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. He will guide you closer to God. He will show you the way to where God is. Lord, guide me by your Spirit. Tell me the things of God. Lead me into your truth today. So the New Testament tells us time and time again to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to live by the Spirit of God. The Spirit is God dwelling in us. He's Jesus with us today, wherever we go. And he fills us with power. One person said, do you know, I thought that becoming a Christian would mean the end to my enjoyment of life, the end of fun as I know it. In fact, I found the opposite. Jesus says he came that we might enjoy life and enjoy it to the full, have it in abundance until it overflows from us to others. So can I just encourage you on this day of Pentecost, to pray, to ask God to receive his Holy Spirit and let his power flow into you and fill you to the brim and indeed to overflowing. Wendy.
Let's take a moment of silence to respond to that in our own way. Holy Spirit, fill us anew. May we overflow with your love, with your joy, with your peace, with your power. And thank you for the comfort that your Spirit brings us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.